Someone, a patient of mine, told me the other day she's been watching the show Deadwood. I've never heard of it, but I think it's about Wyatt Earp or something. And she said they curse so much in that show that her husband came downstairs and said, "Where the hell is my friggin' dinner?" I mean, they're doing it, they're talking like it just because it's from the show. So I don't think they're getting increasingly intelligent. They're just mimicking Deadwood. I really love the territory that we've gone into, and it's in some ways it's diverse, and the realization of the uniqueness of what we might bring as a being is sometimes not as easy to bring in our culture as other kinds of expression. I know that I have, and I think we all have, been shamed for being ourselves. When I was studying the Enneagram, and we were using it a bit in the leadership class, one of the things we pointed out to people was the thing that you were probably shamed for the most was probably your gift, but the person didn't know how to receive it. And or they were another type of person who wasn't conscious that that was how to bring their gift, and so we end up having conflict just because there's competition just not to be on the bottom. I know that sounds weird, but it's just like, I don't want to be the worst person in the room. So I'll at least make sure I'm good enough or I have something special. I spent my lunch hour with a man and his wife who I've known him since I was 13 years old. So he was 8 years old or 9 years old because I went to high school with his sister. He repeated to me things I did and things I said and stuff that I have no memory of. He said, "Don't you remember sitting on the porch and teaching me geometry so I wouldn't fail the Regents exam?" No. "Don't you remember I took the bus to your house in the summer because we always had a small above ground pool and he came with his little brother to swim?" No. And I just thought, that's so different a reality than my reality because I don't remember it. So how do those things coexist when that was really important to him? I mean, he was naming those things because of how much it meant we bonded. And then I was feeling a little embarrassed that I didn't remember them. I mean, he was a little boy, and he's also looking up to me as a teenage girl. So, you know, there's a certain amount of, I don't know if you can call it infatuation, but older sister stuff or something. But whatever it is, we're in the middle of an experience together, and we're both having different experiences in the middle of the same experience. That's happening right now. Like, there are people who are getting ready for a rise that are having a very different experience than people who are just waiting around can't wait. And it's all in the same experience. We're all in the same room. We're all in the same property. We're all going to be at the same festival. Neither one is better than the other. But if we're going to start comparing them, like, I'm suffering because I'm working harder than you. And it goes to this thing about, so how are we finding our joy and our wonder and our pleasure? Because part of our culture is working hard and suffering is honorable. Like, even though people say on your deathbed, you don't ask for, "Gee, I wish I would have done more work." As you think about what really gives you pleasure and what makes life worth living is the things that make you laugh and the things that make you smile. And see, I was sitting there thinking, I don't get love notes. But I'm just saying the comparison thing, it's like she's complaining about them because they're anonymous and I'm sitting there going, I don't get love notes. I got love notes. I got one when she was in FSE, she sent me one, but that was probably because she thought she had to. I'm talking about my own crap. I'm not talking about you. It's amazing how... No, she is the best. I mean, you know, if you're talking about a gift, someone who deliberately lets you know you're loved anonymously, you can't beat that. I actually like... I'm the opposite of Uma. I'm like, this could be anybody. I really do. It's like, there might be a lot of people who could have written this note. I mean, why not receive it that way? Maybe I haven't seen that people appreciate me. And this note's just a reminder I mean, I think that's a huge gift, Courtney. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop doing it. And I encourage other people to do it. I think it's one of the benefits of Secret Santa, even though everybody always finds out who their Secret Santa was. It's kind of... I once gave somebody money in their mailbox and anonymously, and it bugged the hell out of them. And I still haven't told them. But it was an interesting thing. They were feeling really poor. I mean, they were struggling, and so I just gave them some money in their mailbox. And instead of feeling like, wow, magic, a miracle, they were more concerned about why or who or whatever it was that was in their own thinking. And I think if we look at magic, the mystery, the miracle, the invisible, the possible, the wonder, most of the time it is full of the unknown. One of the reasons I like using the word mystery is because it says to me, my mind does not know it all. And I have relied on my mind to understand, explain, and have direction. And I have to stop. I have to stop if I want. One of the things that somebody said in our prep was, like, oftentimes, I think it was Adam, part of the thing of opening to the mystery is, or the struggle, or if there's a conflict, is that there's new information coming. Like when something's uncomfortable, if you open to the mystery, oh, it was you, wasn't it? It wasn't Adam, it was Heather. I keep trying her to get up here and talk, but she said she doesn't have 10 minutes worth of it. But it was such a profound thing for me, like new thought, the new answer, new solution that I didn't think of, the other person didn't think of, but because we opened up in a love space to what's possible, room for new thought, room for breath in your own thinking. And I have found, like this thing that Jewel was speaking about regarding you're thinking about somebody and all of a sudden they call you. I'm sure we've all had experiences like that. During Primal Spirituality, David was sharing with me the story of Penelope in the Oedipus. Is it Oedipus? Oh, no. Ulysses, the one who goes on. Odysseus. I never studied any of those Roman, Greek stories. I never knew any of them. So he had to explain to me the whole story about Penelope was the wife of the guy that went on the big... Do you have anybody see Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Okay, that's a play on that old Greek story. So whoever that guy was in that story, Ulysses? Okay, Ulysses goes on this big journey, and he's gone for like 20 years or something, and all these guys are coming to be her new suitor, trying to convince her that he's dead. Anyway, the story was of Penelope. She said something about, when I'm done weaving this rug, then I'll choose my new suitor. And so what she did was she wove all day and unwove it all at night, so that because she wasn't giving up on the return of her husband. But that day, like 12 hours later, Howard told the exact same story in the service at Gatehouse. And it's like, it's not the only version of the story, and it's only like one little piece of it, but the fact that both those things happened within 12 hours, it's a mystery. I mean, how did that happen? And I personally am not trying to make some big deal out of it. That's where our mind jumps in and tries to analyze the mystery and say, wow, you know, like if we could just get in this place, we could all do this magical stuff. It's already happening. Another thing that Heather said. It's already happening. We're already participating in it, and we are the mystery. Our very vibration is that. The revelation of it is where we get to have the experience of the developing and the surrendering, so that something is happening that's beyond our current culture and our own limited thinking about things. We did the paper in FSE on Monday about oppression, the one that David wrote one of the chapters of his book, and where he talks about the oppression of religion. But I have had a week of seeing ways in which oppression has had an impact on my life, that every time I read that paper, I see more and more things of, well, why do I think that way? Why do I feel that way? And some of what's oppressive is comparison. Some of what's oppressive is I need to be fit in the culture. I need to be strong and also be all these other things and not necessarily be myself. It's oppressive to do anything other than be yourself. And one of the ways you learn to be yourself is by surrendering to the mystery and being with people who also want to do that so that you're supported in the unveiling, the unraveling of the old culture and the birth of the new. Because we do have to unravel some stuff, people. This is not like simple, oh, I get it. I'll tell you, every day there's going to be something, and it can be exciting and wonderful, or it can be a pain because you don't. It can be painful because of the people involved and the way in which we thought we fit in and now it doesn't work anymore. So to know that this was, I wonder. So start the day and end the day with, I wonder. I wonder. What am I not seeing and what can I see? I wonder what's in my way that I haven't been seeing that I can let go of. How come I didn't laugh very much today? You know, my cousin put on a video on Facebook today. She has two sets of twins in her. Her son had two sets of twins, ones that are 10 and the other ones are just 1 year old. And the one-year-olds were sucking on bottles, and the one of them went, and so my cousin Ann goes, are you sick? And she's like, and so the twin goes, she says, are you sick? And he goes, but they're laughing hysterically about, they're both like dying, like which one's going to be sicker? They're 1 year old until they finally spit the juice out of their nose. But it takes very little for a one-year-old to find humor in everything. Why can't we do that more easily and just say, this is really silly. This is a great time to laugh instead of find a battle and compare and make ourselves suffer. So to end the our evening, I give thanks for the fact that we, as Rude was saying so beautifully, are holding a vibration for the thousands and thousands of people who are coming to be with us. And I can tell you, they can spot you. They will spot you. Be open to receive their joy and let them see yours.